Proceed to the next case of the morning, which is United States v. Dwayne Doane. Ms. Kellum.
Good morning. May it please the court, Chandra Kellum from the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois on behalf of the appellant Dwayne Doane. I would like to start today with an observation that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals made in United States v. Corius, and that is that child pornography is such a repulsive crime that those entrusted with rooting it out may, in their zeal, be tempted to bend or even break the rules. But if they do, they endanger the freedom of us all.
Well, let me ask you this. It's a pretty significant gap in time here, and I don't think there's any way to get around that. And if the warrant is invalid because of that, I don't know how you can get around the good faith exception here.
Your Honor, I would get around that exception because I just don't see how any officer could have reasonably believed that this affidavit was valid because it was lacking so much critical information that would have led the police to believe that they might find child porn in his home. I mean, the only fact in the affidavit that would lead them to believe this was the fact that more than a year and a half earlier, he had purchased time on these two child pornography websites. But they did not allege...
But there wasn't any false information. They went to a judge. They gave the information. Whether, right or wrong, the judge said, looks like enough to me. There's probable cause, and issues the warrant. Now they go out with this warrant. I think it's pretty difficult to say they weren't acting in good faith here.
Well, when you consider the fact that the test is whether there's a fair probability that evidence, child porn evidence, would be found at the house, and the fact that the police did not do anything that would confirm or verify whether Mr. Doane even had internet access at his home, which they could have easily done by checking with the local cable companies or local telephone companies. You can access the internet from any place in the world, from your office. The point is, the allegations in the search warrant must be sufficient and substantial enough to provide a fair probability that you'd find evidence at the place that you're trying to search.
Well, I guess I see two possibilities here in terms of the good faith exception, which concerns me too. One of them is that any police officer that looks at a warrant and sees that it's relying on 18-month-old evidence ought to realize that that's just too stale and couldn't possibly rely on it in good faith. I don't know. I mean, that's a very broad statement. It seems to me it depends a lot on what you're talking about. Secondly, and I'm not sure whether the police should know this, things have changed with the internet. You know, and maybe today people sit around Starbucks all day long, you know, accessing the internet, and they don't have any kind of internet facility in their home. But that's a relatively recent phenomenon. I'm not sure as of April 2003, when Mr. Doane made his description, that wireless access was even as ubiquitous as it now is. So in terms of the good faith inquiry, to the extent this is all fuzzy, don't we give the tie to the police, basically?
Your Honor, I just honestly don't think it was that fuzzy when you consider the fact there was no allegation that he even downloaded any child pornography. He could have just been viewing it on the internet screen, at which point there's no reason to believe that child pornography would be at his home, and certainly not a year and a half later.
Well, I understand that, but I guess, again, from the point of view of the police officer, let me say, in terms of the cases that have come to this court, it is... I haven't seen a case where a person like this hasn't downloaded a substantial amount, because when they seize the computer or the hard drive or the CDs or whatever, you know, there are this astounding number of images that people have put on them. Now, maybe today, again, you know, with YouTube or whatever around, maybe they're not downloading, but a police officer with any experience in this area wouldn't have necessarily thought downloading was so unusual. And it's, as long as they think it's at least likely that there's downloading, isn't that enough?
I'm just bothered by the fact that there's no information that he, other than when he subscribed to that initially in April 12, 2003,
right.
that he ever accessed those websites again. And the government concedes that on page 20 of their brief in the last sentence. There's just nothing to show that there was any ongoing criminal activity. And I don't see how a reasonable officer experienced in this area could believe that that information alone and nothing else was sufficient to believe there's a fair probability that evidence would have been discovered there.
You were saying about information about whether he'd ever accessed the websites again. That would have been pretty easy to find, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It would have been very easy. And what they tried to do here is they tried to describe the traits and the characteristics of pedophiles in general and people who collect child pornography to kind of try to strengthen this flimsy affidavit. The problem with that is that they didn't allege or lay a foundation to show that Mr. Doan fell into that category, that he was a child porn collector or a pedophile. I mean, he had no prior criminal history. So just based, and the government has cited no case or pointed to no case where probable cause was found just based on this information alone with nothing else. For that reason,
this is not something that's just generally disposed of. When a pedophile were to extract this information, they do it to keep it. It's not like cocaine where they're going to smoke it up or something.
Your Honor,
that's the purpose of interacting with one of these sites is to get something and keep it and refer to it, isn't it?
But, Your Honor, I think as the Second Circuit pointed out in the United States v. Correa's case, I think that was the case that they pointed this out, that when you're talking about Internet child porn, not the typical magazines or the books that used to be back in the 80s or what have you, there's not a need to retain it and download it because you have easy access. It's on the Internet. And that was what Mr. Doan's expert testified or put in his affidavit that was before the district court when he was attacking the sufficiency of the affidavit here. And I think that the day is gone that the police can just make these bald assertions and say that child pornographers tend to keep this stuff for indefinitely or long periods of time when you consider the advent of the Internet and easy access. For those reasons, I respectfully request this court to reverse the district court's judgment and vacate Mr. Doan's conviction. I would like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Connell.
Good morning. My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant United States attorney in Madison, Wisconsin, and I was responsible for the prosecution of Mr. Doan before the district court. This appeal raises two very straightforward issues. First, whether the district court properly denied the motion to suppress when it found that the search warrant was supported by probable cause and was not stale. And then secondly, if the district court was wrong, whether the officers could rely in any case on the warrant in good faith.
I'm most interested in the good faith. I have to say, there are two issues about this on the basic warrant. One of them is just how old this information is. And secondly, the whole point of the affidavit is to show that the place that you're going to search is the place where this, where the designated materials are going to be found. And I can't, in today's world, see without some more information why you would expect to find any of this in his home. You could put it on thumb drives and put it in a post office box. You could have CDs that you keep, you know, anywhere in the world. There's no physical link to the home anymore. Most people have laptops and they cart them all over the place and maybe don't even leave them at the house. I mean, I just don't see why one purchase on a website 18 months earlier tells us anything about whether this would be in the home.
Well, let me try to address that, Judge Wood. First of all, it was two purchases about a week apart.
All right. So there are two purchases, $100 and some, you know.
And with that, the defendant had to provide his name, his address, city, state. He gave two different valid credit card numbers, which linked to his home.
And he could have had those credit card bills sent to his home. And as I'm saying, he could have been sitting across the street here in Chicago at Starbucks,
right,
where people sit around and play all day in their laptops.
And to The other link, Your Honor, between the access and the defendant's home would be seen in the affidavit, paragraph 56, subpart E, where the agent points out that individuals involved in the collection and or distribution of images of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct almost always maintain and possess their materials in a place that they consider secure and where the materials are readily accessible. This is most frequently within the privacy and security of their homes. Furthermore, Special Agent Sutherland, and I appreciate it, is 17 months later.
It's 17 months later, and it's such a sweeping statement. I mean, you, why even bother to have an affidavit? You know, if you just say, you know, people usually do this. You know, parents usually have toys on the floor. I mean, it...
Well, quite frankly, Your Honor, every case that I've had involving these types of allegations, the home is where these things are kept. This is where people, they don't sit at Starbucks and link onto veiledpages and lustgallery.com with people all around them buying coffee. They generally do this in their home. That's almost a fact I think a judge could take judicial notice of. At this
the magistrate event. Judge said he would have been much happier if you had had actually a little more data here, a little more.
And since then, what we've done in these cases is we actually have... our agents lay out, he asked Special Agent Sutherland, and it's found on page 23 of the affidavit, he had him handwrite in a paragraph whether he had seen in his experience materials retained this long. And we now have agents lay out three or four specific cases where they've seen materials that have been originally put on the computer 5, 6, even 7 years earlier. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Your Honor, these materials are their prized possessions, and they just keep adding more and more to their collection. They don't seem to ever dispose of these things.
Is that any subscriber generally just falls into this, I'll call it a habit or whatever?
Your Honor, I guess if you're asking whether, you know, does mere access mean possession, certainly there are going to be people who visit these websites and don't download. In this case, these websites serve no other purpose than to disseminate child pornography. There wasn't a chat room component. There isn't a blog component. This isn't anything like that. And in the probable cause analysis, as the magistrate judge said, if you're going to plop down $49.95 on two different occasions for access, given the totality of everything else in the search warrant, the likelihood is that they downloaded.
What's the... length of the access or whatever. How long or can you get back?
It's not in the affidavit and it's not part of the record, so I can't answer that. However, given the number,
get cut off. I don't know how these folks operate, but they seem to make a lot of money. Is that site just inherently illegal?
The RegPay site that was hosting.
Exclusively child porn.
Yeah, especially within particular, I can't remember if it was Veiled Pages or Lust Gallery. One of them had no subset of even adult pornography that someone could look at. It was geared specifically
for
that.
Did you prosecute that? Somebody?
Your Honor, the case got started in the District of New Jersey where they took the Bureau of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey seized RegPay. They got all their records.
At the top and then worked out to the...
And that's one reason it takes so long to end up to Mr. Doan's house in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
So he couldn't access it after a while.
That's correct. However, given the number of, it's in the pre-sentence report, paragraphs, I think 16 and 17 or 13 and 14, has huge number of images found on his hard drive on his computer and on CDs that he had burned from his hard drive. I think over 5,000 images, 2,200 of which were actual identified real children.
How did they get identified? Is that facial identification?
Your Honor, the way it's done, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children keeps a database, and every child that is able to be identified is put into their database, and then I think they use a hash value where they log that into the NCMEC at their place. And any time we do a search warrant like this, we are able to send the images, and they're able to use a computer to identify how many.
So it's a computer, sort of facial computer
identification. Right, and then there also is an actual law enforcement officer who can testify, I have met that child, and that child is the one seen in that picture. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to argue except that.
Would the law be better served here if there was a bright line? You name whatever it would be, but say 1 year. If information is more than a year old, it's too stale and cannot be relied upon for issuance, finding a probable cause and issuance.
Your Honor, I would have to say no because two reasons. As I said, we do a substantial number of these cases, unfortunately, in our district, and we see individuals who keep these things, these pictures.
All right, well, here you have 17 months. What about the next case where you have 34 months?
I think the important thing to recognize here, Judge Evans, is the storage medium. You brought this up with defense counsel. This isn't drugs that are going to be consumed. I mean, these things are put on.
I understand that. Yeah. So, but your answer then is that no bright line would ever work here because you would want to argue in any case, if it was 10 years, that that would be sufficient to support finding a probable cause.
Well, I think I can safely concede on behalf of the government today, 10 years would be a long, 10 years would be too much.
Well,
but I think
that's a nice concession.
Thank you.
What's a more reasonable concession?
Your Honor, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility to say that even 5 years should still tip in favor of the government. These people keep this stuff forever. And when you have, as you had here, access to a website on a given day and 18 months or so later, but the agent's able to verify a bunch of information about the target, where it still lives there, so forth, still has an active email account and so forth, I still think the government should be able to get a search warrant. So beyond that, I have nothing else to offer today. I would rely on our brief and ask the court to affirm judgment and conviction in the sentence. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Callum. You've got 2 minutes.
Yes. I would like to first point out that the notation in the affidavit about the 18 months, seeing material that was 18 months old, was really meaningless in this case because he didn't say how often he had seen it. Was it once in the 17 years he'd been an agent or 1,000 times?
Apparently it meant something to the magistrate judge.
It did, Your Honor, but I think that was erroneous because, I think that when you're dealing with child pornography, I mean, it's repulsive, it's reprehensible, and you want to catch people who harm children, but you still have to follow the rules. You have to have probable cause to issue a search warrant, and it was lacking here. There was no allegation on how long he purchased time for it. He purchased it for an hour or a month. I think that makes a difference. It doesn't matter either how much child porn the police found after they executed the search warrant in his home because you can't justify a bad search by the evidence that you find. Finally, the government is asking this court to just write a blank check anytime somebody subscribes to a child porn website that they have a blank check to go in that person's house 5 years, 2 years, a year from now, and that's just unreasonable. You have to have probable cause before you can enter into someone's private dwelling and rummage through their personal things for evidence of a crime. Again, I respectfully request this court to please reverse the district court's judgment and vacate Mr. Dolan's conviction.
Thanks to both counsel. This case will be taken under advisement.